Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor. It's by William Gurnall, who was the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. Today we're coming to the seventh consideration, the Christian's spiritual shoe. It's the third piece of armor, and it's found in Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This verse presents the third piece of armor in the Christian's protection, a spiritual shoe fitted to his foot and designed to be worn as long as he battles sin and Satan. Let us now study three distinct terms from Scripture concerning this shoe. First, what is meant by the gospel. Second, what is meant by peace. And third, what the word feet means here, as well as the grace intended by the preparation of the gospel of peace. First, what is meant by the gospel? Gospel, according to the meaning of the original word, signifies good news or joyful message. Usually in Scripture, the word is reserved for the doctrine of Christ and his salvation. I bring you good tidings of great joy, said the angel to the shepherds. And then he added, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And thus, gospel in the New Testament generally carries the connotation of joy and good news, and we shall use that same meaning here. The revelation of Christ and the grace of God through him is, without compare, the best news a sinner can hear. It is such a unique message that no good news can come before it, nor bad news can follow. God's mercy precedes his blessing to sinners. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Psalm 67:1. Number one, God forgives and then he gives. Until God mercifully pardons our sins through Christ, he cannot look kindly on us sinners. All our benefits are but blessings in bullion until gospel grace, pardoning mercy, stamps them with salvation and makes them current. God cannot show any goodwill until Christ makes peace for us. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men, Luke 2:14. And what joy would it be, even to the sinner who inherited a kingdom, if he could not claim it from the joy and favor of God's heart? Number two, no bad news can come after one embraces the good news of Christ. God's mercy in Christ changes the very nature of evil to the believer. All plagues and judgments that can come to the person baptized in the stream of gospel grace receive a new name. They arrive on a new errand of God's sovereignty and have a different taste to the Christian, as water running through minerals takes on a new flavor and a healing virtue that it did not have before. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity, Isaiah 33:24. The prophet did not say that they would not be sick, but that they would be so filled with the joy of God's pardoning mercy that they would not complain of being sick. Affliction is too thin a veil to darken the joy of the good news of Jesus. The gospel message brings such joy that God opened a crevice to let some beams of this light even into Adam. This is the news God used to comfort his people when things were at their worst and their lives were at the lowest ebb. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And this man shall be the peace. Micah 5, verses 2 and 5. This is the precious secret which God whispers by his Spirit only in the ear of those whom he embraces with special distinguishing love. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. On the other hand, it is the pathetic but sure sign of a soul marked for hell to have the gospel hidden from him. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 4:3. This brings us to the characteristics of a joyful message, all of which are found in the gospel. Let's study five of these now. First, properties of a joyful message found in the gospel. Number one, a joyful message must be good. Nobody is glad to hear bad news. Joy enlarges and opens the heart so it can go out and welcome its most special desires. But bad news always finds the door shut against it. The gospel brings promises which herald the good that God intends for sinners, but threatenings are the native tongue of the law. While it cannot speak anything except judgment to sinners, Christ's gospel of grace smiles on them and smooths out the frowning wrinkles on the forehead of the law. Number two, the news of the gospel is as great as it is good. If we hear insignificant news, we will probably forget it. But if it is both important and very good, it causes rejoicing. The angel of the Lord said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." It has to be great joy because it is all joy. The Lord Christ has brought news of such fullness that he left nothing for anyone else to add. If you think something might be missing from the gospel, you must look higher than God, for he gives himself through Christ to believers in the covenant of grace. We are fully persuaded the Apostle Paul's argument will hold when he said, "All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." The gospel places our vessels close to the fountain of goodness itself, and surely we must have all if we are united to the one who has everything. Can any good news come to glorified saints which heaven does not give them? We have proof of that glory in the Word. Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The sun in the sky hides heaven from us while it shows the earth to us. But the gospel enlightens both at once. Godliness has the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Number three, a good message must intimately concern the hearers. The audience must have a personal interest before an announcement can be good news. While we can be happy to hear about something good happening to another person, it affects us more when it is poured directly into our own hearts. For example, a sick man does not feel the joy of another's recovery as strongly as he would his own. The gospel does not report what God has done for angels, but for us. "Unto you," the angel said, "is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." If angels received and received joy for our happiness, surely our benefits gives even deeper reason to be glad. It would be strange if the messenger who only brings the news should sing, but the recipient shrug it off indifferently. But if be assured that these gospel tidings are for you, if you embrace Christ Jesus with arms of faith. Now, in a kingdom, every subject, no matter how lowly, has a part in the prince. He is a common good to them all. And so is Christ to believers. The promises are laid out like a well-done portrait. They follow everyone who looks on them with an eye of faith. The gospel's joy is your joy if you have faith to receive it. Number four, surprise adds more joy to the good news. The glad message of the gospel was unheard of and unlooked for by the sons of men. It could never have entered into the heart of a human to conceive such news until God unlocked his own good pleasure and revealed the counsel of his will. During the reign of King Henry VIII, a pardon was sent to a nobleman only hours before he was scheduled to be beheaded. And this sudden news was so unexpected that the man died for joy. The vessel of our human nature is so fragile that the wine of even such inferior joy sometimes shatters it. Yet divine tidings exceed natural news as far as God's mercy surpasses the mercy of a mortal man, or as deliverance from eternal hell differs from temporal death, which is gone before the pain is barely felt. Number 5, good news must be true and certain. This is not like rumor or hearsay, which no one can trace back to the author. We have the gospel from God himself, who cannot lie. The ruler of all heaven guarantees the truth of it. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. All the miracles of Christ confirm the validity of the gospel. The skeptics who denied Christ's doctrine were nonetheless forced over and over again to acknowledge the divinity of his miracles, thus exposing the absurdity of their unbelief to the entire world. Jesus' miracles were to the gospel as seals are to a document. Unbelievers could not deny that God was in these miracles, but they could not see him in the doctrine, as if God could ever set his seal to an untruth. Here is what fills up the joy of this good news. It will not deceive any who lay the entire weight of their confidence on it. This is a faithful saying, 1 Timothy 1:15, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The bridge which the gospel builds over the gulf of heavenly wrath for sinners to pass from their sins into the kingdom of God is supported by the arches of his divine wisdom, power, mercy, and faithfulness. And the believer need never fear until he sees these starting to bend or break. It's called the everlasting gospel in Revelation 14:6. Even when heaven and earth are in ruins, not the least part of any promise from God will be buried in their rubble. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter 1:25. Next time, we'll talk about claims on our compassion of those who never heard the gospel. Thank you for listening. And for some audios that I believe will bless you, please go to the top of my webpage here and click on the word series and choose from the list of over 200 topics that represent 3,500 audios. Our daily readings are retrievable as a podcast, and you can download the app. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.